this little letter, the Revelations, and we started chapter 11 last week, if you remember, and it was too much to cover in one sermon, so I told you we'd come back for the last section in this chapter today. And so we're going to look at verses 15 through 19 today, and if you're physically able, would you stand while I read these verses in your hearing, and then we'll ask God's help as we attempt to unpack some of these truths. Verse 15, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign.'" Verse 18, "The nations raged, but your wrath came. The time for the dead to be judged and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyer of the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within the temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail." Amen.
Father, it's just a wonderful blessing and privilege to be in your family, a wonderful blessing and privilege to be in the kingdom, a wonderful blessing and privilege, Lord Jesus, to be in your sheepfold and to be loved, yeah. To be loved in a time such as this, when hatred dominates the earth, when particularly hatred toward your people dominates the attitude in the earth. And so we thank you that as we live for Christ and stand for him and serve him, we can know that we're loved with an everlasting love. And that nothing, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us, and nothing can separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be with us now as we look into your word. Holy Spirit, guide us, give us light and liberty, and then grant us grace to obey what you teach us, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated.
All right. Our subject for today is witnesses and woes again. As we began last time, witnesses and woes. You might remember from last time that we examined these two witnesses that were in verses 1 through 14. This chapter speaks in great detail about these two witnesses. And I admitted to you all, and I say it again, that this is a very challenging, a very difficult chapter to interpret. And so that's the reason that I'm not in any way attempting to be dogmatic, you see, about the things that I'm presenting to you. I'm simply saying to you that this is a way, right? It's a way to look at this this difficult chapter. In verses 1 and 2, I did show you that believers are going to be protected when the places of worship are destroyed and defiled in the future. That's happened in the past, and it's going to happen in the future. The things that happen in the past, or if you will, are foretastes, you see, of things that are going to happen as we move closer to the end. Jesus talked about birth pains at one time, and that's kind of the way we see these anomalies that happen in each generation that has signs, you see, of the times of the end. And so that's going to happen in massive scale as we get close to the end. But believers will be protected while the places of worship are defiled. God always preserves a remnant or a witness for him in the earth in every generation. See that in verses 3 and 4. And then we see that those who stand for Christ, those who witness for him, will do so, and God will provide the evidence, you see, that they stand for him. The Bible refers that many times as signs and wonders. You see that in verse 5 and 6. And then finally, the verses 7 through 14, we see that these witnesses will be killed and resurrected. And so that's what we covered last week. And in doing so, I label that particular section as confirmation, you see, of the two witnesses. That was a confirmation of the two witnesses. But this week, I told you that we would cover what I call the celebration of the third woe. The celebration of the third woe. And so, you might remember that this third woe was mentioned in verse 14. So if you could just turn back to verse 14 of this same chapter. It says, the second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. You see that in verse 14? The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. And so, with that in mind, remember that we are about to investigate this third woe. And also remember that there are no details. You won't find any details in the Bible about this third woe. It's just mentioned. God doesn't give any of the events and the activities. It's just mentioned that this third woe is now coming soon. And because of that, the celebration breaks out, okay? And so that's what we want to investigate. So take a look at verse 15. In verse 15, I said that the kingdom of God has overtaken the kingdom of the world. Okay? Verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All right? The kingdom of God has overtaken. The kingdom of God has overcome. You see, the kingdom of the world. And as we think about this, the word kingdom is certainly paramount in this verse. And the word kingdom simply means there is a sphere, or there is a realm, or there is some territory where someone rules, okay? Where someone rules, where someone has the authority to rule. You might remember that Jesus referred to Satan as the ruler of this world. Yeah. The ruler of this world. Satan called him the prince of the power of the air. I believe that's in Ephesians 2. Paul also said, remember this, he said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the forces of evil in heavenly places, you see.
And so there is this evil kingdom out there that we can't see, this evil kingdom that's affecting people in this world, this evil kingdom that's affecting families, affecting husbands and wives and parents, this evil kingdom that's affecting workers on their job, this evil kingdom that's affecting teachers in the schools. You see, this evil kingdom that's affecting politicians. And so you shouldn't think that the evil that we see going on in this world is just by is just happening by chance. Humanity apart from God's grace and restraint is evil. But there's also an evil force, you know, I that's probably not the best word. But this kingdom has a power. God has given this wicked kingdom power to have influence on people in this earth, you see. And so don't minimize that. You saw, you remember that story in the book of Acts where these seven sons were, you know, going to go in and try to exercise. You remember that exercise, this demon? And these demons gave them a fit. They had to run out of the house all tattered. You see, because demons aren't something that you tackle on your own. They have power. They have no match for the power of Christ. You see, they have no power match for the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we don't fear them. But I am saying that they are not, you don't play around. That's the reason we caution people about these Ouija boards and all this wickedness where they get in and they think it's fun, you see? But this wicked kingdom is dangerous. And it's called a kingdom because you can get in it. And once you're in it, you're ruled by what? The ruler of that kingdom. You get it? And trust me, he's ruling the majority of this earth right now. Doesn't matter how expensive clothes people wear. Doesn't matter how high their positions are in the world. Or on the other hand, people have a tendency to think that poorer people are more holy. No, no. The only saints are those in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor. And so this kingdom, you see, draws all sorts of people. And there are people in all spheres of life that are under the influence of the devil. He's the ruler of this world. That's something that we need to, right, just keep in our brains when we're getting so upset with people. Oftentimes, people don't even know that they're being used. I remember when I first, I can't digress too much, but y'all remember an old song called Hotel California? I don't know. Some of y'all may be old enough to remember that. I think it's by the Eagles. And Anton LaVey was. There's a line in that song that says, once you check in, you don't check out. And he said once he was writing that song, he can't explain it, but he sat down and it's like something was moving. You see his hand. And there's a picture of him. I don't know if you've ever seen that old album cover, but he's inside of this hotel looking out the window. Can't get out. This is serious. People get involved in these satanic things, thinking that it's just going to be fun. But this ruler of the world, he's a liar, deceiver, and what did Jesus say? He's a murderer. Been that from the beginning. And that's his goal, is to murder as many people made in the image of God as he can. So that's the kingdom. You see, you get it? The kingdom of this world. God has given the devil limited power, limited authority, if you will, to rule over the world for a limited period of time. Don't miss this. All that I told you was for us to face it in reality. But for the Christian, we know that his power is limited. He's no match for God. He has limited power, limited authority, and we learn from texts like this, it's for a limited what? Period of time. It's all under God's control. Mm-hmm. It is, and I tried to think of a good statement for you, and this is the statement that I wrote. Listen to this. It is a temporary appointment in which he has cause massive damage and massive destruction, but his rule has come to an end, and the true king shall reign forever and ever. I'm telling you all, this is our hope. You look out around, and you look at so many, I mean, you look in your neighborhood, just think of how your neighborhoods are just being so destroyed now. And they don't necessarily look that bad, you know, on the outside. I mean, people can live in very nice houses. And I told my wife just the other day when we were praying, we don't have any idea what's going on in these homes around us. You know? Even when the neighbors speak to you, you know what I mean? They're all cordial. But think of what they're finding out that's going on inside homes nowadays. But it's all temporary. You see, that's the reason we're not destroyed by it. We're not, I mean, you look at the news, if you let that get inside your head, you're just constantly depressed because we're not getting, quote, good news reports because there's not a whole lot of good going on. Well, at least not that the media is interested in. That's good going on. I shouldn't say that there's no good. There's good going on, but the media isn't interested in that. And so you see, the kingdom of this world is constantly feeding you. You see, this depressing information. So that's the reason you need to have your mind renewed. You know what the Bible say? Your mind needs to be what? Renewed by the Word of God. Your mind needs to be refreshed and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Yeah? For those of us who have ever worked hard or gotten dirty in some other sense, it's just an amazing thing to be so dirty. And I don't know how, I know some of us have had this experience. You're so dirty that you just can't wait to get to the shower. You ever had it? It's just, you're just so filthy. You know, so sometimes you can work. You don't even want to eat because you got the filth all over your mouth. You ever had it all over your nose? And so, but once that shower, it washes you, yeah? And that's what we have to, we live in this toxic world. And it's just filthy. We have to live in it. But God says, come to me. I'll cleanse you every day. Get you ready. Because, you know, after you had that shower and you rest and you eat, you're ready for the what? The next day. Yeah? That's the Christian life. The Christian life. And that's the reason they can't figure us out. You see, they still walking around with that same dirt from yesterday. All the same stench and everything. They can't get it off of them. Now, you remember, you don't necessarily see it because they dress clean. You know what I mean? They drive in nice vehicles. But all of that same stench and everything from the toxic stuff from the day, you see, the past days, past weeks, it's all on there. But every day is a new day for you. Isn't that wonderful? A new day, fresh start. Yeah. So, it's the king reigns forever. The kingdom of God has overtaken the kingdom of the world. And then we go on and look at verses 16 and 17, and you see that these celestial beings worship the Lord when the Lord's reign is proclaimed. As soon as they hear the proclamation about the Lord's reign, this worship comes about. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who sit
on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign." Just hearing that he's begun to reign, heaven breaks out, you see, in celebration and worship and praise. Because we know that that's when everything will be made right. It's when our God reigns. You see, they give thanks for God's mighty power. They give thanks for his eternal resistance. And they give, existence. And they give thanks for him reigning as king with authority and power in his kingdom. You remember in Matthew 28, after Jesus had risen from the dead, he said, "All exousia." Sometimes that's translated power, but in many versions it's translated properly as authority. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." You see? That's our God. He reigns. Our God reigns. And that's the reason he's called God Almighty. You see? God Almighty reigns. And he has dethroned the devil. Oh, hallelujah. He has dethroned the devil. God rules and reigns. His rule and his reign now is unchallenged because he is God Almighty. And his reign will never end because he is eternal. And his reign is eternal. Yeah? Philippians 2, God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that's what? Above every name, that at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee will bow. There are those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. He reigns. He reigns. He reigns as Almighty. And so, see, the devil has been dethroned. And the Hebrews 2, I don't know if y'all remember when we worked through there, it says that even though you don't see it right now, even though you don't see it right now, he's already defeated. Isn't that good? Because we don't walk, we don't live by sight, we walk by what? Faith. By faith. Faith comes from hearing, and what? Hearing the word of God. And so if God says it, I know it's an old slogan, but that we have to believe it. Why? Because God said it. So that's the reason we have joy when other people don't have it. That's the reason we have peace when everybody else is falling apart. Why? Because God has... There's nothing like the life of a Christian. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. Jesus said that, "What I give to you, I give you my peace." It's not like the world, does it? Isn't that wonderful? And you know the old song, "The world didn't give it," and what? Well, they can't take it away. You have to give it up. God has given you peace, and you let some difficult situation you get in bring that, you see, that anxiety into your heart. That's you. That's not God. Amen. He's already given you peace, right? Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, what? Peace. You already got it. And if you're not living in it, it's because you're not what? You're not exercising peace. Not because it's not available. There's nothing like a Christian. That's the reason the world can't understand. You see, the previous chapter, the verses that we looked at, the world's celebrating because they think they've run us down. They thought they defeated us because they took away our job. Thought they defeated us because they took away insurance or Social Security. Thought they defeated us because we can't get the kind of medical care that we need. See? These are real things. I mean, just because we don't see a lot of it happening here in America, the majority of Christians around the world, that's what they're experiencing now. Live in these communist countries or Muslim environments, they don't care about Christians.
don't care about their health or their life or their children. And see, that's, they think they win. They're celebrating. But they can't win. Like Pharaoh. The more we try to inflict pain on them, the more they grow. Just how it is with Christians. And in a lot of ways, that's how it is with oppressed people everywhere. I mean, think about our ancestors. Amen. How they tried to stamp them out. They couldn't. Right? Wasn't if they didn't try. But God had a plan. Yeah, for people of all nations, all tongues, all tribes. You see? The kingdom of the world has a whole different plan. But God is working his plan. How did Joseph say it? Remember at the end of Genesis, Joseph was telling his brothers, even though you, what, intended it for evil, what, God intended it for good. That's the deal. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason we're still standing. It's not because the world has planned good for us. The world intended it for evil. But God, right, is causing what? All things. You believe that?
Amen.
It's an easy verse to quote, but you gotta live by that when it's hard. When you can't see your way out. He's still causing what? All things to work together for good. All right. They're giving thanks here, and the devil has been dethroned, and the Lord God reigns forever. And then in verse 18, you see that this reigning is going to mean wrath for some and rewards for others. You see, that's what it means for God to reign. Yes, God is a good God, but if you're on the wrong side of God, you don't receive blessing when it comes time for wrath. He's the master. He's the ruler. And when he has promised that he will do, people may scoff and mock today, but the day is coming. I remember what we just said? Every knee is going to bow. Every knee. Whether they believe them or not. So, take a look at verse 18. The nations raged, but your wrath came. You see? The nations were, they're not happy, but your wrath comes anyway. The nations are proud and exalted, but your wrath comes anyway. And the time for the dead to be judged, but look at that, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, for those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyer of the earth. Amen. And so, you see, that's the reason I said that when he reigns, reign means both wrath and reward. Wrath for some and rewards for other. The nations reveal their hatred for Christ. And that's the reason I'm saying to you, you look around the world and it's intuitively obvious what people feel about Christians around the world. And even though it's being camouflaged and cloaked here in America, it's surfacing. It's bubbling up what people feel about Christians, particularly when we start slowing down their program, when we get in the way of the plans that they have made, they reveal their hatred for Christ and those who follow Christ, for those who try to get in the way of what they call, quote, progress. Yeah. And that's the way we are labeled, as those who hinder progress. And so, this hatred, when it says the nations rage, they hate Christ, they hate his word,
Because what? His word reveals their sin. And so they not only hate Christ because he does it, they hate his word because his word reveals their sin. He and his word called them to repent. So they hate him. They're outraged. The nations resent someone who has authority and power over them. Look around the world. Look at our own country right now. We're so proud and arrogant, and we flaunt it all around everywhere we go.
I'm thankful that God has placed us. All of us would have to admit we've been blessed for living in America. So I'm not bad mouthing it, but I am saying that we also have to look at things honestly. America is a proud nation. Arrogant. Just being honest. Sinful. I mean, even some of the Muslim countries despise us because we are the major purveyor of pornography in the world. Most of the pornography in the world emanates out of America. Do you know that? We are the major proponents for sexual perversion, making laws for sexual perversion, making it legal for same-sex marriage and all of these kind of things. Now, you see, it's all politically correct now. You see, so you see what happens? The kingdom of the world, you see what the kingdom of the world does? It tries to dumb people down. Throw it in your face so much. You see it everywhere. You see it on television. You see it when you go to the movies. You read it in books. Even in school now, what's the book? Sally Has Two Mommies. You know what that means. That's the description of a family nowadays, you see. Now, I'm just being candid. This is the kingdom of the world. And America isn't immune from that. Even though in the middle of it, God is what? He's still protecting us. That's what I want you to see. We're still blessed. Thank God that he helps us to take care of our children in the midst of that cesspool. You see? He helps us to raise our children, and you see? In that, he helps us to go to work in that kind of environment. I'm not in the workplace now, but I got friends who still are. And HR policies now is they're not so much trying to come up with a third bathroom for people. They tell people, if you don't like it, then don't use it. We got two. And if someone feels like they are a male, then they use the male bathroom, you see. Hopefully I'm just speaking about some examples to try to help you see. When I speak of the kingdom of this world, this isn't just happening in third world countries and in other places. It's happening right here, but we see it all the time, and so we've been just kind of dulled to it. But this is real. Do you see how far we've drifted from, I mean, what was just considered to be normal just a generation ago? This wrath and reward is coming. The nations resent, as I told you before, those who have authority over them. So what? They are outraged, you see, as they flaunt their power. They are outraged as they flaunt their wealth. They are outraged as they flaunt their influence. But their power is no match for God. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many nuclear weapons we got in America. And we've got them all over the place. Do y'all know that? They're all over the place. We would be terrified to learn where the nuclear weapons are stored in the states and the cities around America. And so, see, the nations flaunt their power. They flaunt their wealth. They dare other nations to attack, you see, and they take that same attitude toward God. I'm too big. Y'all remember when that financial crisis came just a few years ago, and they said some banks, some places were too big to fail. Y'all remember any of that? And so they set out the plan to rescue them. And so that's the way some nations feel. I'm too big. I'm too important for anybody to tell me anything, you see. And so God is going to reveal to the nations who's really powerful. Yeah. So I know I'm trying to leave this point. I'm wanting to make it relevant for all of us. But their power is no match for God's great power, as His wrath has come, and it's time. You remember that when we read that in verse 18? It's time for judgment. But not only is it time for judgment, do you remember in that verse? It also says it's time to reward the faithful saints. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's the reason I called it wrath and reward, you see. The time is coming, my brother, my sister, when you're going to be rewarded. Don't grow weary now, because the world system seems to be flooding, you see, the world. And taking over, they can't win. Stay faithful, because the time of reward is coming. It's time to reward the faithful servants and saints. And then finally in verse 19, you see that God is faithful as He welcomes heavenly saints into His presence. Now, you might wonder why I get that from verse 19. Excuse me. So let me read it. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of His covenant was seen within His temple. There were flashings of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. So you got this picture of God's temple. You remember we've talked about it before. What is the temple? A place of worship. What happened in the temple? People could go there to worship God. But He says, notice what it says here, the temple is opened. And you notice it says what? The Ark of the Covenant was seen. And so, the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence, but it's also a symbol of God's faithfulness, you see? And so, the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol that God is present now and ready to be worshipped. But it's also a symbol that He's welcome, He's inviting those to come. And when it literally happened is, you remember when Christ died on the cross that day in Golgotha? You remember what it said happened as He died? To the veil, that massive veil in the temple, what happened? It was, you know, the old King James, it was a rent. It was what? It was ripped open. But how was it ripped open? From what? Top, it was, no man could do it anyway. But it was ripped from top to bottom to show who did it. God ripped it what? From top to bottom to open the way to the Holy of Holies, where no one was invited to go before in the temple. But you see what it said? God's temple in heaven is what? Is open now. And He invites all of the saints there to what? Come on. Come and worship Me. The Ark of the Covenant is here, which is a guarantee that I'm present. Just come and I won't disappoint. I'll be here. And it's a symbol of His faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful to you. How long? Forevermore. How long can I worship you, Lord? Forevermore. You don't have to, you won't be having, you know, little 2-3 hour worship services that you're all accustomed to. And you won't have all the distractions that, you think gets in the way when you're trying to worship. Because all of that's what's been removed. Come on. Isn't that good? Yeah. But you see, that ain't happening for everybody. Some people on the other end of him reigning. And they're getting misery and pain and hurt. And so it's a wonderful thing to know you're on the right side. You know that old song we used to say, I'm fighting what? Fighting on the lower side, yeah. And to know that I'm blessed because I'm on the Lord's side. And so that's the scene that we have here. And the saints in heaven are welcomed into God's presence. There's no more curtain. There's no more wall dividing and separating. Why? Because Christ removed it. And anyone in Christ has the eternal promise of God's faithfulness to you as a child of God. You see, the Ark of the Covenant is a promise of His presence and His faithfulness. You have the promise that God will be faithful to you until the end. Until the end. And while the saints celebrate and worship God in heaven, judgment is taking place on earth. You remember how that last sentence there talked about lightnings and rumblings and peals of thunder? Remember that last sentence? And earthquake and heavy hail. The saints are worshiping in heaven, but those on the other end are experiencing judgment and wrath. And it's just, this is the time to get on the right side, to get on the Lord's side and to know that you're in the place of safety, that you're in Christ, so that you don't have to guess about these things in the future. All right, well, as I said last week, I know subject matters like this can be divisive, but it's my desire that we should not, we do not have to be divisive here, and it's my desire that we would not be, because we all love Christ, we look forward to His coming, and we will find out from Him, what's really going to happen, all right? So we don't need to be be divisive among us. This chapter reveals that things as we know it are coming to an end. This chapter reveals that God is victorious and we are victorious. So I hope that we too can celebrate as we see the celebration going on here in these few verses. I hope that we too can celebrate the fact that God is almighty. I hope that we too can celebrate the fact that He has no equal. That we too can celebrate the fact that His kingdom has overcome and has overtaken the kingdom of this world. I hope that we too can celebrate the fact that He shall reign forever and ever and ever. That we too can celebrate the fact that the nations rage, but the victory is the Lord's. That we too can celebrate that saints are rewarded for their faithfulness. And that's all saints. Whether they're small or great, you're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. Whether you're popular or unknown, you're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. Whether you're wealthy or poor, you're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. Whether you're male or female, whether you're young or old, you're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. Whether you are Jew or Gentiles, you're going to be rewarded. Whether you spend many years in the ministry or very few, you're going to be rewarded. Whether you had a public ministry where all could see, or whether you worked in the background in some private area where nobody, not many people knew, you see, you're still going to be rewarded. Whether you were healthy all of your life, or whether you were sick all of your life, you're still going to be rewarded. Whether you were afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You still can celebrate, right? We need to celebrate today because you know that this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for a weight of glory that has no comparison. Celebrate today. Yes, it's hard. We got challenges. We got problems, but they cannot compare to what's ahead of us. We see that as we read through texts and scriptures like this. Celebrate because you have fought a good fight. Celebrate because you want to finish your race. Celebrate because you kept the faith. Celebrate because you want to hear Jesus say to you, well done. Amen. Right? My good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy. Enter the joy of your master. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You've had some joy down here. And we experienced it the best we could, but we all had sin in the way. But when that sin is taken out of the way, Jesus said, I'm going to take you to where you can enter my joy, and there won't be any distractions. You see, well done. Well done. Enter the joy of your master. So what? Celebrate now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till all of this happens before you say, why? You can celebrate now. Why? Because that's my future. I believe God when He says that's my future. So I can celebrate now. Now, y'all remember, and I'm going to close with this. Y'all remember, we saw, I believe it was verse 9, that the world celebrated that victory, but it was short-lived, wasn't it? 3.5 days. Y'all remember that? Celebrated that victory because they thought they had stamped out Christians. They put us down. You know, we got the picture of those two images being killed. And so that's the way the world thinks, is that they can stamp us out and they celebrate, but it's short-lived. But our celebration is not short-lived. It's eternal. We celebrate God's victory because it's what? It's eternal. Our God lives, and our God reigns. You know what Job said? My Redeemer lives. He's right in the middle of all of his problems and his issues. And you know all of the misery that he was going through, his friends and even his own family. You know, basically, there was no encouragement. But he said in the midst of it all, I still got hope. Because what? My Redeemer lives, and I know I will what? I'll see Him. And so we can persevere. We all got stuff going on. Yeah? But we are pilgrims. We're journeying. We're passing through. And we can celebrate. Think of most of the oppressed people around the world. They still had celebrations and parties and gatherings, you know. It could only be for a few hours or so whenever they got a break from the oppression. But they found a way to what? Celebrate, which means that they could find something to be thankful for in the midst of all of their issues. And that's all I'm saying to us about what we're looking at here. Everybody in here ought to have a reason to celebrate. Regardless of what you go. And I'm not minimizing what we're going through. I'm just saying in the midst of it, we still got what? A reason to celebrate. And so, believe it or not, that's my message. That's what I want to leave you with today, is to celebrate. The world's celebration of their victory was short-lived, but our celebration of God's victory is eternal. Our God has done great things for us. So let's celebrate and worship Him today. God, I want to thank You for these few minutes that we spent together in Your presence, and